everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of 90s Horror Films. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with my special guest who actually was the one who suggested 90s horror films. So either you can blame her or you can, whatnot. I don't know. Whatever you want to say. Or you could congratulate her for if you really love the show and you want to, say nice things. I don't know. Whichever one. Please welcome Madeline Deering. How are you doing, Madeline?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, so you're the one who suggested this. We were on 80s horror films podcast with Rebecca, and I said, I forgot which one we were doing.
We were doing Pumpkinhead, right?
Pumpkinhead. And yeah. I'll actually bring that up in a few minutes. So we were doing Pumpkinhead, and I mentioned how we can't do number two, which a lot of people love Pumpkinhead too, because it's a 90s horror film. And you're like, well, you could always do 90s horror films. And believe me, I thought about it before then, before you said it, but I was not even thinking about it, that I would actually do that. And then I was like, because we have a show called Horror Film Lovers, which I absolutely adore doing. And that concentrates on movies we love, horror films we love and everything. But this one, I liked, if we're doing 80s horror films, why not 90s horror films? I won't do 70s horror films. So that's just not my era of time, But yeah. I do 80s.
I mean, 90s. I grew up in the 80s and 90s. Well, I was born in 88, so mostly the 90s. So who doesn't love 90s movies?
I was born in 82, and I barely remember that. I don't remember the 80s at all. So all I remember is having a Dumbo, little stuffed animal and sunglasses and a picture, and shit.
I had a Pumbaa.
You had a Pumbaa?
Oh, yeah.
That actually makes sense for 88. Yeah. So it was 93 that came out? 95?
95?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Anywho, but this movie that we're going to talk about here, you also suggested this movie. This was which is the first time so far this year that I've taken a suggestion. Usually I've been picking them, ones to start out with, but you were like, if I'm going to come on your show, I want to talk about Dr. Giggles. And I had not seen the movie yet until last night.
Really? You had never watched it before?
I didn't tell you that, did I? No, I
don't remember.
No. No, I never seen it. So last night was the first time watching it, and absolutely adored it. It's now going to be a movie I watch all the time. Not every day or anything, but maybe once a year or something,
Exactly.
And it's definitely a great movie to watch during October, November time period of fall. Even though it's got a little bit of that summer vibe with the fair and everything like that, the carnival that they go to and everything. So let's talk about it. So first of all, you picked this. So obviously you are a big fan of this movie, right?
Oh yeah. And I love medical horror in general.
Do you? Okay.
I think it's a great subgenre that's not really used enough.
Yeah. I never thought about that. I don't really, other than this, I don't really know.
The dentist and the dentist. Surgeon.
That's true.
I don't know. There's not that many.
There's not that many. There should be more,
Maybe. Yeah. Cause it's scary. I've always kind of found it really, kind of scary. It's doctors supposed to be saving your lives, but they can, take them too.
They can save your life or they can take it away.
Exactly.
Technically, any doctor can accidentally take your life anyway too. And that, I believe that was a lot of the fear that Holly Marie Combs had, is that the fear that she was going to possibly be, was possibly going to die in this routine surgery
and never come out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what her mother, in the movie did.
Right.
Went to surgery and never a routine surgery. So.
And then there's this surgeon who's running her. Well, he's not really a real surgeon. He's
no, he's in an insane asylum at the beginning.
So yeah, so let's talk about the beginning, and I'm going to talk about notes, by the way, out later, because I wrote a lot of notes last night, a lot more than I normally do, because it was a lot of fun.
I'm glad.
But so in the beginning of the movie, you've got you basically got these people coming into the facility, the mental facility, checking up on, you know, a patient that has basically escaped and has brought a bunch of the other patients to escape, you know, and everything. And he's this goofy character, like, what's his name? Rendell, you know?
Yeah.
He was such a... Evan Rendell, was that his name?
I shouldn't know off the top of my head, but... Because his father had... Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Call him Dr. Giggles.
Well, that's... they even say that in the movie, is they're like, oh, yeah. Dr. Giggles has escaped. And he's a Jew. I know. Can't do his laugh. I can't do his laugh either. I don't even think I want to try.
It's such a unique laugh.
Oh, and yeah.
It's creepy.
Well, it's creepy. And you know what the creepiest part is? He laughs when he's in pain, too.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's sort of what he was taught, was like, you know, you know, in order to survive the pain of stuff, you have to laugh.
Laughter is the best medicine.
That's so. Yeah, I guess that worked for him. And it was it was Dr. Evan Rendell, and he was a kid who lost his mother through heart surgery or whatever. And his father was trying to figure out a cure, you know, and figure out a way to make her survive and everything or something. And his father was a quack, you know, just like him. And he kind of taught his son to be like him, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We don't really know too much. As far as I know, like, unless you pick something up that I didn't, because I only watched it once and it was my first time. So. And you've probably seen this multiple times, so you'll know.
Yeah.
But my question is, so, you know, he got taken to the mental hospital at some point in his life. When do you know when that happened? He must have had to have been young.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's that flashback whenever he talks about the cops talking about how the doctor had hidden his son inside like the mother's body, remember? That, and then he climbed out.
Oh my god.
That scene terrified me as a kid. That sticks with me. And when I saw that, I was like, oh man, this scene. But you know, I mean, then the cop finds him, I imagine, after that, but I don't know for sure if they say when he went to the insane asylum. But how do you come back from that? I mean,
so you see, like, so the father had sewed him up into the body, and then he cuts himself out and jumps out, you know, right? And like attacks the
cop. It sounds so ridiculous when you say it out loud.
And then attacks the, well, I mean, it looked ridiculous. It was amazing.
I know.
But it
looked
ridiculous. And then, he, like, I guess he knocked out the cop or something, you know?
Yeah.
And when the cop woke up, the body, he sewed the body back up and stuff, right? So all of a sudden he can explain to the people, like, I really, like, literally saw this, you know, like, he would look like he was insane, that he had said that there was a kid that jumped out of a fuck, it's like he was jumping out of a cake, you know, when you see all those people say they jump
out of a cake. Surprise
I'm jumping out of my mother. You know, like, it was so fucking,
like, he was being born again or whatever.
That's like, what I thought, you know, like,
oh my god,
he's being born again into this like psychopathic state of mind or whatever, you know, like he became a psychopath after that. So when he escapes from this mental institute, what he does is he goes back to his old house that's sort of been boarded up. I guess nobody wants to live there because
his father was a quack, and I mean, he had killed patients trying to take their hearts and save his wife.
Right. And so I guess there was that, you know, so people would, I guess, teenagers. And by the way, I did not know this was a teenage, like, you know, centered movie. I thought this was all going to be like taking place in a hospital or something. And like, I'll tell you what I thought, because I did not read anything about this. I didn't know anything beforehand. I thought it was about a doctor that killed people at a hospital. Like, that was it. Now, there was the hospital scenes at the end, but like, yeah. Other than that, like,
most of the movie is house calls.
That was one of my favorite lines in the movie. It's like him saying, you know, and because it became like a, you know, it became like a Freddy Krueger saying one liners the whole time. And it was like,
oh yeah,
you're in luck. I take house calls now, you know. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he's gonna be the one just like saying all these goofy like lines, you know, and everything. So he comes back to his old house and people there, all these high school kids, they're I guess off for the weekend, and so they decided, you know, they're gonna go to the carnival that's there, like the
local there's carnival. Like a carnival in town,
you know, it seemed a little weird because I don't know how close the carnival is to like everybody, you know, and where everybody is in like, because you see Holly Marie Combs after she's found out she's got to put that stent on and stuff. Yes. And she's going to have to go to surgery and, you know, and she's all kind of terrified of the stuff that's, you know, going on.
No alcohol. Like,
no alcohol, no food. Well, she could eat food, I think.
No strenuous activity.
No coffee, no tea. Oh my God. I would die.
Coffee.
My nope. Tea right now and coffee.
Drinking my beer right now.
We're both disobeying doctor's orders. Doctor there, but not Dr. Giggle's orders. His orders are for you to die. You know, that's that should have been like a line in a, you know, I've got an order for you. It's to die. Larry Drake. Let's talk about him real quick. So I've seen Darkman, but years ago. I don't really, exactly. I don't remember him from Darkman. I know he's the villain in Darkman. And
I haven't seen Darkman in many years either. I know I have the VHS.
Oh,
but I can't remember the last time I saw it. So
I might have the VHS, but I know I have the DVD somewhere. I need like a Blu-ray if they have that.
Yeah.
Cause it is a classic, film. What is it? So Larry Drake, most known for LA Law, where he played a guy with Tourette syndrome, apparently, is what I looked into it. And I watched some of his clips from him. And did you know he was in Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid movie?
I was looking up his filmography because on the back of the VHS, it's like, oh, yeah, award winner, whatever. And I was like, I don't even know who this guy is other than Dr. Giggles.
Right.
So, yeah, I saw he was in a Karate Kid.
I watched his scene because it's a Yahoo number one. And I was like thinking the only Yahoo I remember are the guys that were teasing Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, when Mr. Miyagi was coming up. And they were saying some racist shit, you know, to him.
I haven't seen Karate Kid in so many years. I've been meaning to rewatch it because I want to watch Cobra Kai. And I'm like, I can't watch Cobra Kai without watching the original three. And I haven't seen the original three in over 10 years.
The original three are just
that's
classic.
Going off topic.
But I will say the fourth one actually does. Like, I used to hate the fourth one, the next,
what,
Karate,
the next
Kid.
Karate Kid.
And I actually liked it a lot better in recent times watching it. It does. I mean, it holds up better, you know, than I remember.
I liked it when I was a kid, but again, I don't remember it. I liked all of them.
Well,
kid.
You know, yeah. I liked, you know, because it fucking had Hilary Swank as a. You know, back then she was like sort of getting her name out there a little bit,
yeah.
You know, or whatever. Nowadays she's super famous, you know.
Exactly.
But anyway, so like Larry Drake was in Karate Kid, he was in LA Law, he was in all these different things. But you know, I always thought he was, for some reason, I know he was in Darkman, but I always thought he was in like Maniac Cop or one of those kind of things, and he wasn't, but it feels like he should have been.
Yeah. He's got the right personality for it.
Right. Like, I feel like he should have been a Full Moon regular, you know, or whatever, you know, back in those days too. You know, he would have been wonderful in like Oblivion or those kind of movies. But anyway, he was great. He's fantastic as Dr. Giggles. He's just a lot of fun. Holly Marie Combs, I absolutely adore too, but
always loved her. I remember, I used to watch Charmed with my family and everything, and that's probably around the time when I rented this when I was younger. So I was like, oh, yeah.
I've seen her at conventions. I've never talked to her or anything. She's usually got a huge line. And, I don't bother people unless, I really follow their filmography or whatever. But if I ever did like run into her, I'd be like, I loved you and Dr. Giggles. I wish they did a sequel to it.
I
wonder if she would say I do too, or if she would have been like, oh my God, really? That's not the movie that put her on the map at all.
Exactly.
She didn't get famous until Charmed, I don't think.
I didn't hear about her too much till Charmed. I mean, I only really know her from Charmed and this, and I feel like she's in some made for TV stuff or something I saw. I can't even remember.
She's probably some Lifetime movies and shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Glenn Quinn. I didn't know he was in this movie either. And I love him in Angel. Like, he unfortunately died. I don't know if it was drug overdose or suicide or whatever it was.
I didn't follow his career too much to really know that.
But he was in one season of Angel, and his character like died in Angel. Spoiler alert. Sorry, but like it's really early on in the season, first season. It was one of those tricks that Joss Whedon liked to do where he put him in the credits in the beginning, so you thought he was a big time person and then killed him halfway through the season. That way, you were surprised when that happened. So he died in Angel, and I absolutely loved him in that and thought he was great. He died in real life, and how did he die? Drug overdose, sadly, in North Hollywood. So that's sad. But it happens to a lot of people in the film industry, you get money, you get drugs. I mean, kind of happens. But he was great as Max. Like, I loved him. Like, thought he was the only thing I said and thought about was like, he was such a dick. Like, he like cheated on his girlfriend.
I know.
He like fucking like bounced back. Like,
oh, that is like, they act like it never happened.
Right.
It's so weird.
It's the same fucking night. Like, it's not like time has passed and she can get over that shit. She literally saw him making out with another chick,
Like, she's like, oh, my heart. Oh, you're cheating on me. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, what a dick.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Dick being the big name in the ridiculous thing. But anyway, it was just ridiculous. I get it, because you only have 90 minutes and you don't really have a lot. You can't really have a lot of time of him like explaining, and it's not going to happen while they're in the middle of trying to fend off, and he did come to save her.
I don't know why they even put him cheating in there, because it really didn't push the story forward or anything. They could have fought over anything else.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, to me, it doesn't even, it's kind of randomly thrown in there.
That's true. Like, if they had just taken that out, it really wouldn't have made much of a difference, I don't think.
Because no, they could have.
Especially in the way that they did it. Right.
Yeah.
They could have argued about something so mundane, and that's what they were breaking up over, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Fighting over. And then they come back and realize, why are we fighting over that's some stupid shit? Like, this is.
Because it doesn't even really seem to fit his character.
It was so awkward. That was like one of my least favorite parts, because like he's like, so the chick's like, there's a party over there, if you want to go. And he was like, okay, sure. Like, everything seemed like, sure, let's do it. Do you want to, show me what your mouth can do? Okay, sure. Like, everything was so like random, That was the thing that kind of annoyed me. I was like, why did you know? Let me get into my notes real quick. I'm gonna hear what you have to say about these things because I adored this movie. So there were some things that I was like, okay. So the first thing I wrote was love the cast, Holly Marie Combs, Glenn Quinn, and Doug E. Doug. Oh my God. This was at the same time he must have been doing Cool Runnings. You know?
Oh my God. I didn't realize that he was from Cool Runnings. I haven't seen
that. He was Senka. He was
since I was a kid.
He was Senka. He was the one who was like all like you know, why don't I draw a line down your middle of your head so it looks like a butt? You know, he was that guy. Such a great character. In this movie, I feel like they didn't really do anything with him. He was just kind of there. Freddy style one-liners. I laughed at Breeders Hill, you know.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's very on the nose name. Because you know, you always hear Lover's Point or Make Out
exactly,
Point.
Exactly, but Breeders Hill. I love the way the cop like breaks that all up. he's so funny.
And he actually knows, like, you know, this is what, because I think he lived in the town forever, you know, so he knows, like, this is what they do. Like, and he's not trying to be a dick. He's just, like, saying, hey, we can't have you guys fucking in this.
Exactly.
You know, like, here, you guys got to go. I always hate seeing dogs in horror films. Now, I was writing that as I was seeing the dog come up, you know, and everything, because my first thought is they kill the dog, like, I'm almost shutting down the movie. I'm that kind of person. I think we've talked about this on the Pumpkinhead episode too.
Yeah, and we probably talked about it on Spirit Animal too.
Yeah. I don't like dogs getting hurt. Now, yours was kind of goofy and silly, and stuff. And you could tell it was a fake fucking dog and shit. So it didn't bother me nearly as much as like some movies do.
Exactly.
Like think about like Stephen King's Needful Things. They like ripped a dog apart or something and stuff like that. Skinned a dog. I can't watch that shit. It just makes me, or Fear when they chopped off the dog's head and shoved it in the doggy door. I just thought that was just like so fucked up. He makes house calls. So I love that line. Obviously. Ahead of his time, out of his mind. You know, I love that line too. Like, there's a lot of good lines. Was that Tetris that little kid was playing?
I don't even know. It was some type of old school game.
It looked like Tetris at first, but then it didn't.
It was something similar, but I'm not sure. I love how the kid was so into it.
But it didn't even seem like the music that was in that video game was the same music in that video game. You know what I mean? It seemed like it was a different music for a different game or something. It was weird.
The kid's like the whole time, like his mouth's open. It's so funny.
Well, it was, I guess it was sort of making fun of that time period where video games were sort of like rotting kids' minds,
and they really hit the nail on the head with that.
Exactly. Never seen someone pick up a condom with a toothbrush.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's talk about that scene.
Ugh.
Dude, like, you can pick it up out of the water with your fucking hand and wash your hands. Like, what the fuck's wrong with that guy? He's an idiot. So funny.
Okay, first, whose toothbrush was he using? Obviously not his own, you know.
Well, no, because he was at the girl's house, I think.
That was another question I had. Was he at the girl's house or was he at his own house?
I thought it was the girl's house.
I'm not sure. I thought it might have been.
I'm not sure either.
Now, I was also wondering if it was like maybe they were babysitting that kid and like all they had to do was like fucking put the, you know, video game in front of them and they're like, oh.
I never thought that deeply about that scene, I guess.
You know what? I mean, I understand that. I'm only thinking of it for things to talk about on the show, but like in real life, I would not have probably. If I weren't doing a show about it, I would not have been paying it that deeply attention to it because I just, you know, and it was one of those things like, you know, I see that and I go, wait, you know, why did he use, you know, somebody whose toothbrush is he using? That bothered me. I was like,
I always thought it was like funny and fucked up if he was using his girlfriend's toothbrush to do that. Like, fuck it, man. Like, he's, I don't know why I find that so funny and disgusting.
Right. It's just
first like, off, again, why?
Why use a toothbrush to pick up a condom? Like, and
does he really think the condom's even still usable? And would you use a condom if it was in a toilet?
No, that's gross.
I mean, I hope that's no.
Yeah, no, that's disgusting. I would have been like, I would have flushed the condom down the toilet. I don't know if that would have caused a problem with the plumbing or anything, but I don't think so. You're not technically supposed to flush certain things down the toilet, you know, or whatever. But I
and then he's like, let's see if she'll notice or something. Like, yeah.
Well, he's holding it and like the water's coming, you know, out of it.
I know it's got holes.
I don't know, like,
so, correct. Yeah.
And then he comes back in the house and she's already dead. You know, Dr. Giggles has got her at this rate, which is just so strange. So is he just going door to door, like house to house or something? Are these houses this close to each other or something? You know, like, I would have loved to see more of that, of like Dr. Giggles walking to the houses, right?
Yeah.
And you see him go from one house.
Kind of appears.
Right. But you don't know how far one of these houses are to each other, you know?
Well, probably like a suburban neighborhood. I mean, it kind of almost reminds me of like even like Halloween. Well, you know, they have the house, like the old house and everything where the murders took place.
Right. But that's usually, you can tell that's right. But you can tell that's like right next to another house, right? This one looks like it's kind of in the middle of like a cul-de-sac or something, you know, or whatever, where it's, you know what I mean? Like the house is.
Well, the one lady was across the street, I believe, because she saw people like, or whatever going on in the house, and she ran over and saw, you know, his eyeball. No, and stuff.
That's true, because she also. The lady also bumps in.
I always kind of
in.
Thought of it as like a close neighborhood, but you know.
I guess because Holly Murray Combs is coming down and she sees the house, and then I got the biggest jump scare I've gotten in a while, and I was surprised was when she turns and she sees the girl with the dog, the woman with the dog, and everything. Yeah. That actually made me jump, and I was like, "Oh, wait, like, is this gonna be this kind of movie? Like, I'm gonna be jumping?" I wasn't scared, but I was like, "Whoa, that."
Well, yeah. Sometimes those little jumps is like unexpected, especially in like kind of a horror comedy like this.
Right. You know, I was like, ooh. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I was getting my heart going, you know. I might have needed a little stint coming up after that. But yeah, so it got me going. And then, but like Holly Murray Combs is going to her house. She's walking to her house. So her house had to be close by, you know, she wouldn't be walking like miles, you know, away. She's old enough to be driving, you know, though I don't know, maybe with heart issues she might not be able to drive. I don't know, you know.
Thing I never thought about.
Well, I don't know, like I'm thinking about these things while I'm watching the movie going, you know, I just, you know, because like I'm watching it going, okay, what can I talk about on the show?
Talk about how he switches, what, like the red pill for the blue pill for that lady across the street,
right? You know, that was,
she
cool.
Doesn't notice the color of her pill change.
I know.
And it's not like it's like a small ass pill, like this is a pretty big pill. You'd think you would notice if it fucking changed color.
Well, I mean, she wasn't the brightest lady in the
that's true.
And they even said like she was so annoying, the cops like we're saying that she's always calling, you know, the cops over to investigate the house.
She's reading that newspaper that says more Elvis sightings or whatever. Did you notice?
She was reading that, and I thought that was really funny. So it was already showing you she wasn't the brightest, you know,
you got
brightest person
here.
Right. So I mean, it kind of made sense that she wouldn't really notice the pill. So I will give them that. You know, that didn't bother me at all because I already thought
it doesn't bother me. I just think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, and you know, a lot of this is comedy, and which I think made it more fun because, and comedy done right, you know, there's a lot of films out there that try to be horror comedies and fail miserably because they're just not, they just don't understand comedy necessarily, which is hard. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I think I'm funny. And then I say something and it doesn't get a laugh, you know? And I'm like, oh, I thought that was funny to me, you know, guess it's not funny to other people. So this movie was pretty funny. It had some really good moments to it. But yeah, that fucking lady, the red and blue pills, man, was she, what was she going to the Matrix or something?
I know. I even thought that.
You thought that later. That's how they got, they came up with the idea for the Matrix. They watched Dr. Giggles.
Probably.
Like, you know, a red or blue pill, you know? All right. Let's see. Okay, we talked about the toothbrush. What? Oh, the funhouse scene.
I love that scene. I think it's very well done. And I love anything. I love, like, movies that take place in, like, theme parks or, like, a haunted attraction, stuff like that.
We did that for Funhouse, right? Or whatever. Was that what it's called? Remember we did that for 31 Days of Indie Horror.
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, my God.
It was not called Funhouse. That's the Toby Hooper one.
Really good one. That was the first review I ever did with you, and I can't even think of the name of the damn movie.
I know, because it's been so long.
It was so good.
It was so good, too. Yeah, you'd already seen it, and I hadn't.
Yeah, I had seen it before.
That sounds familiar. You'd seen it, but I hadn't. That seems to be a thing. You know, you watch more of these movies than I do, and then I just ask you to come on these shows and talk about them.
That's really bothering me. Are you looking
it
up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up because I know it started. Didn't it start Robert Englund?
Yeah, Robert Englund was in it.
Yeah.
Pretty recent, maybe like 2017.
Was it that recent? Oh, God, yeah. This is going to drive me crazy.
I can't look it up on my phone while we're talking.
Funhouse Massacre. Yeah. I knew it had Funhouse.
We were close.
I knew it had Funhouse in it. But yeah, that was a good one. I really liked that one. And I love funhouses. Like I've never actually been in a funhouse and gone through the mirror. So one day
I haven't either. It's such a great setting for a horror movie. So I absolutely love that scene.
All right, so I had an idea, and I'm going to tell it right now, and if the producers of Friday the 13th ever want to fucking put it in a movie or whatever, I'm okay with it, because I'm probably never going to make one. So I wanted to do a horror film with Jason called Jason Land, right, where you walk around Jason's theme parks or whatever and go and see. And one of the things I wanted to do was have a fun house where it was Jason's photo or Jason in the pictures, like in the mirror. So if you went to look in the mirror and saw yourself, you saw Jason, you know? So when you were like this, you know, or whatever stretch, you'd be Jason and doing it. But the thing is, when the people are going through the funhouse, they're like looking around and everything, and all of a sudden Jason is in there. The real Jason.
Of course.
And they think it's, you know, they think it's the, they think it's one of the, you know, images or whatever. And he kills them, you know, kind of thing, you know, for real. And so, but it would be really funny also with Jason looking at himself, like all over the place.
I know.
You know, and so I always thought that would be a fun idea, but unfortunately I'm never going to be able to write a, and people are like, oh, don't say that. And I'm like, oh, I've got a cease and desist order from them, Crystal Lake Entertainment, really? For doing a fan film, you know, for starting a fan fan series.
I mean, we don't got to get into fan films, but so many people have done those. Like,
right, and done the Friday the 13th, and I'm the one who gets the cease and desist, of course. So I'm like, maybe that means that my shit's better or something. I don't know. They were worried that I would actually, you know, like, I don't know, or whatever. Whatever you want to say. Anyway. I had that great idea. Maybe someday, you know, whoever runs the, you know, Jason stuff, they'll let me write Jason Land, you know, because I think nobody
knows anymore.
I know. But that's a whole other topic. That's a whole nother 90s horror film topic. and we already did Jason, the only Jason movie. Rebecca and I did Jason Goes to Hell for the first episode. I loved it.
Goes to hell.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. I honestly think this movie's a lot more fun, you know, honestly. Because it's completely 100% original and different. Yes. And, you know, you said like the surgeon and the dentist, but think this was just
This is one of the best, like, killer doctor movies there are.
It was like a killer doctor slasher movie. And exactly. That's just so much fun.
Great story, great killer, great actors, great kills. Can we talk about the liposuction or whatever you want to call it, kill? Because I remember that, like, when I was a kid, that was like, oh my God. So, you know, watching it, you know, again, not that I haven't watched, you know, I've watched it recently, but like that kill always, like, ooh.
I like that kill. And I also love the blood pressure kill. You know,
oh my God, that one's super ridiculous. It's so good.
You know, I'm like thinking killed by blood pressure, you know it's freaking amazing. Some of the kills were inventive, but they were doctor kills, you know. They were like, let's basically, the liposuction was the girl, right?
The girl who had Harley Marie Combs, or her name's Jennifer in the movie. Her dad's girlfriend.
Yep.
That was her.
That was fucking nuts.
That kill gets to me. I'm like, oh my God.
Once again, it reminds me of Freddy. Because like Freddy would take like remember the scene in like Nightmare on Elm Street 5, I think it was, where the chicks just keeps eating and getting fatter and fatter and
explodes. I think that was 5,
And explodes and everything. I always remember that. It's that type of thing. It's like, you know, let me see what I can do to make your fucking head explode or body explode or whatever, you know.
That's probably why I love this movie so much, because I mean, I'm a huge fan of Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger, and just the personality, the humor, the kills. So it's similar in tone.
Well, I used to hate Freddy, and not because I thought,
what?
Give me a second. Let me explain. I never liked gore when I was a kid. Gore freaked me out, you know, and I was never into like all this blood and guts and stuff. Not till much years later in my life that I could like stomach it, you know, but I used to be afraid of that stuff. So I would not watch like Hellraiser. I still don't think I've actually watched Hellraiser all the way through. A lot of it's just because I don't know. It's one of those movies that like, I think I have to be in the mood for, you know. Uh-huh.
That's understandable.
It doesn't seem like I'm in the mood when I think I'm in the mood, you know, I don't know how it is, but, maybe I'll have to do it for one of my shows or like for 80s horror films. I would just have to like write that down and like put that in there and just make myself watch it just because, you know, and it's not like I don't want to, it's just like, also it's really hard to watch stuff that I'm not reviewing, you know, because like people are like, oh, you can watch something for yourself now, and I end up just watching YouTube all day because you know, it's just simpler to like, you know, you don't have to like, you don't have to invest yourself into something and everything, and so it's harder unless I'm doing it for a show, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I was never into Freddy, but I absolutely adore Freddy now, of course, you know, much years later. I've met Robert Englund. He's such a great guy.
I hope to meet him in April.
Oh, so you haven't met him yet?
No, I was going to meet him. He came to the Steel City Con in Pittsburgh. First convention he ever came to that I was going to. And I wanted to get an autograph. And they said he was done doing autographs for the day, just photo ops that were already paid for online. They said he broke records for the longest line. So he agreed to come back in April. So gonna have to plan better. Cause being a huge Freddy fan, that's my first horror movie, like everything. Like
my friend Chris, I've got a fun story for you. So my friend Chris Harkins, who's a huge horror fan, and me and him became really close friends, and he's local to Virginia and everything to me, so we went to Horror Find together with another friend of his, and then the next month or month after or whatever it was, I think it was October. We went to Monster Mania in Maryland, right? So we went to the Monster Mania in Maryland because he wanted to meet Robert Englund. And so we're sitting in this huge line, you know, and everything. And he wanted me to be the one to take the picture. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have the money at the time to buy. Literally that would have been all my money would have been going to him, you know, and I wanted to meet Ken Segos and all the other people from Nightmare on Elm Street 3. So, but I was happy to be in the, you know, crowd waiting and everything. And so I went to take the picture. And it took a lot longer figuring out his stupid phone and, you know, all this other shit. So he's got his hand around, you know, on the glove because my friend brought a glove for Freddie. He put it on his, you know, neck and he's choking my friend. And then, you know, I'm taking a little bit too long. And so all of a sudden I hear in Freddie's voice, "Take the picture, bitch."
That's amazing.
Oh, dude, I did not have a boner, but I definitely came. Like I don't even know how it happened. You know,
that's
but
so like awesome.
It was crazy.
That's one of those once in a lifetime moments.
So I wasn't the only one he called bitch to, like while they were like, so I heard that again. I was like, damn it. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was special. No,
you're not the only bitch, I guess.
I'm not the only bitch that takes pictures, I guess, you know. But it was nice. It was cool. It did make my day. And so, you know, I adore Robert Englund. I think he's a great guy. And he really does love his fans. And
I've heard. I've heard nothing but good things about him.
Yeah, he just loves his fans. I mean, he'll talk with you for a little bit, but like, I mean, you have a huge line. You can't really
have a
5-minute conversation with them, you know, or anything. Yeah. A lot of these people you can't do that with. Like, I met Sam Raimi. I got a picture with Sam Raimi. And he was, you know, he's a lot taller than I thought he was and stuff. And we were taking the picture and I was like, he was the only person in the whole history of all these people that I bought like a photo op for specifically and like was so nervous around. I met his brother that day too, or that weekend. And
I
was not,
it was cool.
I was not nervous around his brother, even though I was maybe a little nervous, but not as much. But meeting Sam, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And he was the nicest, sweetest guy you've ever met. And something like, I love all your movies or something. And he was like, thank you. You know, it was like that sweet of a thing. Like,
yeah,
but he appreciated his fans. And I really.
Exactly.
So anyway, to go back to Dr. Giggles, which I haven't met. I didn't get to meet Larry Drake before he passed away. That's sad. I don't know if he did. He do conventions, I wonder.
I honestly have no idea.
All right. So the other notes I have, look at those old school computers. I think that was in the that was at the cop scene, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? They didn't even have the internet back then. How's he like looking this shit up like that? Like, it was so weird looking. Like, you could tell it was literally just a black screen, and then they put just some like, you know, letters on there to make it look like there was whatever. It was so cheesy. you know, that's not how that works, but whatever. Operating on himself. That was interesting. Seeing him operate.
Oh yeah. That seems crazy.
And then he said, physician, heal thyself.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Which I love because I hear that phrase all the time and I'm like, now it's really funny to actually see a physician actually heal himself.
Yeah.
If
you want to call him a physician.
I guess he's not really. He's not really a doctor. Because he didn't go to medical school. He didn't really get a degree in this stuff. He just
learned what he learned from his dad and performing on stuffed animals. And like in the beginning of the movie, I always thought that was, you know, kind of going back. Like you see all of his stuffed animals and stuff. And they all have like been cut open and like tied back together, sewed back together, whatever. It doesn't even look like they were sewn. It looks like they're literally like tied. It's weird, but that was always kind of like a creepy thing too.
He sewed his mother back together. Jesus Christ. Jesus.
Yeah, that too.
Oh my goodness. All right. So then, and then the last was my line before about Max was cheating on her and she forgave him very fucking quickly. And I mean, like, I once again, I get it because it's only a 90 minute movie or whatever, yeah. You know, like you only have 90 minutes to do the thing. But once again, as we said, there should not have been the cheating part aspect of it, because it just, it made no, absolutely no sense for the movie itself, you know, or whatever.
There could be like a director's cut or something. Who knows?
That would be interesting. Now,
yeah,
that's another thing I wanted to bring up. Did you know that the director of it is now writing and directing American Horror Story?
No, I didn't. And I still don't watch any of that, and I need to.
Ever? Like, none of the...
No, I think I watched an episode of Freak Show. I was like, this is cool, and then I never watched anymore. And it's like something I've always been meaning to watch. I just don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah, you just... Well, I mean, some people don't have the time or, like, patience.
Usually watch movies.
Well, because movies are so... one and done, you know, like you don't have to invest.
TV, you have to like invest yourself, so.
Exactly. And
I need to, though.
I mean, I invest myself in television shows that like I'm investing myself in all the Marvel stuff, mainly because like that's a whole universe. So like what one TV show will lead to another TV show will lead to another TV show, right? So that's, you know, I get that, you know. They don't really have that many things for movies or for TV shows, the, you know, other than the Marvel stuff. So like, you know, if they did that for like, say, Chucky, the new Chucky came out, right?
Yeah, that's one I've been trying to watch. I still need to watch that too, but.
And say Sci-Fi got the rights to like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So they decided to do a Texas Chainsaw Massacre show. Then all of a sudden they crossed over. You know,
yeah, then yeah,
that would be pretty cool, right? And stuff. And I would definitely invest my time in that
horror universe crossing paths.
As I was calling it the slasherverse, and I would love that. Like, and now that Sci-Fi is doing stuff like that, you know, or whatever, because they've got Day of the Dead, and they've got So I mean, if this all could exist in one universe, I mean, how fucking cool. So
that would be amazing.
But I don't think Sci-Fi is doing that, or
no. I mean, not right now, but hey, probably.
Well, I mean, what it was, hey. maybe. I mean, if they do more slasher, because they got Slumber Party Massacre, you know, the new movie, but that's not a TV show. Had they done a TV show version of that, which I'm very surprised this year has had so much 90s stuff coming back. I Know What You Did Last Summer as a TV show.
Yeah, that's weird. I haven't watched it yet, but I haven't heard much good.
I'm gonna watch it mainly because for Horror, Blood, and Coffee, we might talk about it since it'll be, I think by December it'll be over, just like Chucky. So by December we can talk about Chucky and all the TV shows together, you know, or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, it's just insane what different shows or whatever, you know, all these different things are happening. But it's great, isn't it?
It's a great time to be a horror fan.
I agree, 100%. True. One of my favorite times right now. You know, it's amazing. Yeah. I'm hoping there's, you know, I'm hoping there's more like that, you know, coming. Let's see. So Dr. Giggles. Do you think, I always like asking this as a question in a lot of the podcasts for films, but do you think that they could make a remake of this right now? And do you think it would hold up? You wouldn't want one, would you?
I wouldn't. You wouldn't. Giggles is so good. You know what, though? I think, to go back to Child's Play, I really dug the remake of Child's Play. It wasn't, you know, it was a different type of story. They kind of took the same idea. Should they remake Dr. Giggles? I mean, they could, but also they could make another Killer Doctor movie. Because, I mean, again, that's an underused, you know.
Subgenre.
Subgenre, yeah. I don't think it needs a remake, but I think they could do something similar And if they were to do a remake, I'd watch it, but I wouldn't want them to try to do the same movie over again. Make it your own, like they did with Child's Play. Make it a little bit different. You could keep some of the same ideas, but no, you don't need a remake. I know I'm like in between because I'm like,
It would be cool to see Dr. Giggles come back, you know.
Yeah, I wish but it wouldn't be the same. They could have done a sequel back then because with the same, you know, with the same Dr. Giggles
actor, yeah, it would have been Larry Drake coming back. Yeah, probably coming after that. Somebody else, you know, not Holly Marie Combs. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's one of those movies where I'm like thinking about it, and would it work today? You know, like it would be a similar story but different, right? So they would probably do about a killer doctor. They probably wouldn't do so many flashbacks like they did, because I feel like that was a thing of its time, is doing a lot of flashbacks to explain stuff.
Yeah, to explain his.
And some of the flashbacks, it got kind of like. You know, like I felt like it explained too much, you know, at times. And it kind of bothered me in that, because like it took time out of the rest of the story to kind of like explain the back. And I'm one of those guys, like, where, you know, what would be your motive, right? You know, kind of thing from like Scream, right? Like, what's your motive? What's Dr. Giggle's motive? And literally has no motive. Like, he's just a fucking insane.
He's killer. Just a madman.
He's just a madman who wants to play doctor. He
fucked up as a kid.
And who gets a weird attraction to this girl because she has a heart issues like his mom.
And you know?
Like that's it.
His mother. And he wants to save her in his own weird way.
Right. And wonderful. Like, you know, like all of that setup and all of that stuff, like fantastic. But it's just, to me, it wasn't, you know. It wasn't needed to like find out all the stuff about his mother and stuff. So, I mean, I will say one or two flashbacks, great, especially the one of him coming out of the, you know.
Yeah, that one still creeps like, me out.
Yeah.
And again, I like the flashback of his dad coming home, watching him, you know, cutting open his teddy bear and seeing all of them stitched up. I think that's creepy as fuck.
So, I mean, it was okay.
So it has some good flashbacks, but I understand what you're saying. They could have maybe utilized them a bit better.
Right. And it's one of the first like real ones where like we're really following this guy. We're not following Holly Marie Combs necessarily. She's there. We're following her sometimes, but mostly we're following the journey of this madman, you know? And so if you watch most movies, it centers around the teens, you know, and that's it, you know, and the killers are just sort of coming in and out of their life. You know, this one, you're really you see him at the house looking up all the records and, you know, trying to pull out all his tools and stuff and everything. And then when he kills the guy through the key. Dougie Doug, when he kills him through the keyhole. Remember, he like pokes him and everything. That was pretty brutal, you know, and shit. I loved him. Like I loved Dr. Giggles, you know. So thank you for picking this for us, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I'm glad that you didn't know that I hadn't seen it because I don't know, maybe your ideas beforehand would have been different, you know.
Yeah,
so there you go. It's getting about the time to wrap it up. What would you say was your like can you hear me, Madeline? It's starting to mess up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay. So tell us, what have you been up to lately?
Well, still kind of promoting like Spirit Animal and stuff. It's playing in Chicago on the 30th, but I guess by the time this is up, it won't really matter. So, you know,
the day before Spirit Halloween,
Animal's... huh? Yeah, before Halloween, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Chicago for Real Horror Fest. So we played at a few festivals. I went to Iowa. Ross Meyer invited me to come to his film scene theater in Iowa City. That was incredible.
You just Gettysburg. Said Ross Meyer, but all I could think of was Russ Meyer. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, understandable. we were at Gettysburg at Creature Feature Weekend we played. So, and other than that, doing up a short film for an upcoming anthology. A short nice. Film's Trash Removal about a trash monster. So it's another environmental movie. But that's a short film, about 25 minutes. So.
Are you coming out next year? Are you still doing like a lot of podcasts and stuff?
Yeah. I'm doing Shitty Shark Show.
Yeah, Shitty Shark Show.
So that's going strong, working on okay. that.
So I haven't listened to your show in a while, but do you ever rate them or anything? Or do you kind of like
give them a fins up or a fins down?
Fins up or fins down. That's awesome. that's brilliant. My big question is, what's the worst one so far
that we've reviewed on the show?
So tell us what's the worst one that you've reviewed on the show, and which one's the worst one that you've just seen, period.
Oh god. So for worst one we've watched on the show actually was the most recent episode, Sharkenstein, if you've seen that. Mark Polonia directed it. I just, you know what? The only reason I'm saying this, because like that was the first movie I think I didn't give a fins up, because I found enjoyment out of most of them. And when I first saw Sharkenstein years ago, I hated it. And, our co-host John Schatzer picked it. And I was like, oh God, here we go. And I watched it and I was like, this isn't as bad as I remember, but. You know, it's also can do like a dorsal fin, which is kind of like, didn't love it, didn't hate it. It was meh. I gave it a dorsal.
You gave it a dorsal fin. Maybe next time you'll actually give it a fins up.
You know what? You never know. You know. But,
that's funny because Sharkenstein was on Sharkenstein, whatever you want to call it. I was just watching Young Frankenstein today.
Yeah, so. That's a great movie.
So Sharkenstein, Stein, whatever. Paul gave it an 8.5 on the stink
on. Really?
Which is 10 is stinky, you know, and bad.
Oh yeah, I actually forgot when you were saying that.
Yeah, so you were thinking it was a good review. No, I gave it a 9, and Jackie Hall, who's been in movies like Chainsaw Cheerleaders and Dorm of the Dead and, whatnot, who's also my roommate for a while, she gave it a 6, you know, on the scale.
So she enjoyed it a bit more than the rest of you guys.
Well, I mean, no, and we enjoyed it for the stink factor, you know, of it, but we didn't, so that's funny that you gave it a meh, you know, kind of rating, and you didn't like it at first, which is also surprising because we've talked about Polonia. You love Mark Polonia.
Oh, so. Yeah, I'm a huge Mark Polonia fan, but some of his shark movies just, I miss, you know, the Splatter Farm days, the SOV stuff with him and his brother, you know.
Yeah. We reviewed one of them, didn't we? Did we do Shark Encounters of the Third Kind or something together?
Oh, yeah, I did do that with you.
Yeah.
I was just about to mention that, because that is probably my favorite shark movie, Mark Polonia's done.
Okay.
I really do think that's a fun one.
Have you seen Noah's Shark yet?
Not yet.
I think it just came out. It might not be available to,
I knew it was coming out soon. I didn't know if it was out already.
Okay, maybe it's not out already. I just
watched Jurassic Shark 2 Aquapocalypse or whatever, which enjoyed more than I should have.
Well, I don't
think another Mark Polonia flick,
which is funny because it's like the second or third time he's like done a sequel to a Brett Kelly shark movie or whatever shark thing.
What was this other one?
I know he did Shark Encounters of the Third Kind was actually Wild Eye put that out, right? And sorry, everybody, this is not where we've gone and not talking about 90s horror films anymore. So
gone down that wormhole. We always go down.
We always do it. So just they should be already like aware. But anyway, so Brett Kelly made Jurassic Shark, then Raiders of the Lost Shark, and then a Ouija Shark.
I love Ouija Shark.
It's so silly.
It's so good.
But unfortunately, Brett's gotten like death threats and stuff over his movies.
I saw him post about that. That's sad.
And like when we watch it, when we did Raiders of the Lost Shark for Indie Film Cafe, we loved it. It was so much fun.
I really enjoyed it.
But like we could tell it was bad on purpose. Like he didn't do this to be, you know, this whatever. Shark
flying through the sky. It's hilarious. I remember running that with my friend from Family Video when they were around, and we both were laughing. It's a fun flick.
And so I kind of feel bad about Brett because Brett was the first guy to ever come on any of my podcasts, you know, and I adore Brett. Like I think, you know, if I say movies of his are stinky, that's a good thing. You know, I don't think I've ever did a review of his movies and like trashed him as a filmmaker or anything. And I think he was afraid of that. Like, you know, I think that's, he gets that shit too much of people saying, oh my God, this is the worst movie of all time. You know, I would kill the person who made this
people
movie.
People are assholes. Fandom is just, I don't know, even understand anymore.
I don't think it's even fandom.
People can
anymore.
Be like that over a movie.
Halloween Kills, you know.
It
got so bad that Joe Bob had to actually say something, you know, about like he posted something about, you know, how we can disagree on movies. That's like allowed, you know, and shit. And like if I find something to be terrible, you know, that's one thing, you know, anyway, right? And maybe my truth and my, you know, but maybe you would love it because it's terrible, or maybe you don't find it terrible, you know, maybe you find something good and whatever.
That's the thing about movies. Everyone has a different opinion.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people, some filmmakers who are universally terrible and nobody, I don't think anybody could ever say anything nice about them, but like, at least they're still out there making the movies, you know?
Exactly.
We did a review recently that, we did a review recently of a film, and I'm not going to say what it was, but the director hated our review, was sad, depressed, and decided he was going to quit filmmaking. I don't know if it was just our review, you know, but like he sent me messages and then unsent them and then deleted me as a friend. And then I found out through somebody else that he, you know, that he wanted to quit the business. And I feel terrible, but then again, also don't feel terrible because we don't, when we review movies like this, you know, we talk about this movie, we don't review the movies. And, you know, if I didn't like Dr. Giggles, I would have been honest about it. I would have said, this is why I don't like it. And if you could convince me that I was wrong or so, or at least I thought wrongly about it or whatever in your opinion, great, you know.
Well, that's kind of when we were talking about like Sharks of the Corn. I think I was talking about positives and stuff, and I think I turned your opinion around a bit.
You did and I
really enjoy Sharks of the Corn. It's not perfect, but I really did enjoy it for what it was, and I think the shorter runtime was better as well when I, you know, watched it that way. But
the same
anyway.
Thing with House Shark. You know, I didn't really like it, but then you and Paul said things to me that started making sense, and it changed my review, changed my feelings on it. And I love that, you know. I feel like that is something that people should understand. Like, you know, we have to be truthful to ourselves, right? Meaning also, if we are wrong about what we say, you know, right, and everything. We come out and we say that, you know, like, look, I apologize, I was wrong. This movie is actually a little bit better than what I was thinking it was, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, the point is that, people, the way I feel like it and this is, you know, this as a filmmaker, you did Spirit Animal. There might be some people who did not like Spirit Animal that don't like Animals, you know, and it's not their kind of movie, whatever.
Exactly. They're gonna go say
something on Letterboxd. I didn't like Spirit Animal, blah, 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 blah. This is why, you know, I don't like the ones that just say this sucks. You know, give me some.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like an okay, whatever. But if someone gives me reasons, hey, I didn't like it for whatever reason, you know, just didn't find it funny or thought it was too cheesy or, you know, whatever, didn't like the fact, you know, okay.
Yeah. If it's not your cup of tea, then you don't have to watch it. You don't have to like it, you know.
Exactly.
When I put out Scary Story Slumber Party, it's on Plex TV right now. Shout out to Scary Story Slumber Party. But people would say these reviews, and I love looking at negative reviews. I mean, it sounds kind of morbid, but I like seeing those because those people have sat through a movie, watched it, and they are giving me their opinion. Now, if they just say, there's one guy that will write like, this sucks, you know, and that he'll be like, this is good, you know, or whatever. And then he does that for every review. That's it. You know, doesn't, and most of the time it's even before, like, Dustin Hubbard realized he did it before Ouija Mummy had even come out, you know, made a negative Ouija Mummy. Yeah. So he had said a negative thing about it before it even came out. I thought that was funny, you know, because this guy's not even credible, you know, he's not even credible, you know, but
it's
apparently,
like, if you're going to say something's good or bad, tell us why.
Right. Exactly.
Even if it's a short thing, like, I thought this was good, it was, I had fun watching it, you know, it was funny, whatever, good gore, or hey, I didn't like this, it was boring, you know, okay, yeah, that's something, that's better than this sucked.
Right. So when I like to read the reviews, I like to read ones that are directed toward why they didn't like the movie, right?
Yeah.
And when they say stuff like, you know, there are too many storylines or whatever, too many shorts, you know, I get it, you know, I'm like, I mean, then I'm guessing they're not fans of like ABCs of Death or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like I stuff like that, like I understand, or 60 seconds to die, yeah,
you know, never seen it, but I know what it is.
It's like 1 minute shorts that are, you know, that are strewn together into like an 80 minute movie or whatever, but that's like 80 shorts, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I watched some of it. I'm like, you know, my biggest problem with this, I don't think you can really tell a real story in 1 minute.
I would be the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. But so anyway, the point is that, you know, so if they're like, they don't like it, too many shorts, that's their opinion, you know, on it or whatever. Or if they're like, the shorts, my biggest problem is people think like all the shorts have to have some kind of theme wrapped up into them. And I'm like, not necessarily. I don't think so, you know, personally. And I don't need to look for a theme, you know, in every single short, you know, not every single short has to be about revenge or some theme, you know, like, so I feel differently. So when people say that, I'm like, okay, good. Like, I'm glad that they gave me their feedback, but I don't necessarily have to, you know, I don't have to listen to it, you know, unless I'm making Sonic the Hedgehog and I make him really crappy looking. And then I listen to him and I make him better looking. And then, you know, it's the first time in history of Hollywood that the producers listened to the fans and they were like, oh my goodness. But anywho,
how much fun that movie turned out to be.
I know why. The writers, Patrick Casey and Werm Miller, aka Joshua Miller, they are fantastic writers. I'm friends with both of them, and I've had them on my radio show, like back when they had only been famous for doing the Dorm Days movies, you know, and stuff.
Oh
like
my God, Dorm Days! Damn.
I actually like Dorm Days.
I don't think I've ever seen them. I just remember the DVD covers at the video store.
Right. And we're actually probably going to do Dorm Days at some point because we've done Hey Stop Stabbing Me, their first movie. We've done their other big movie, Sledgehammers at Dawn. We did that this year. We did Gamebox 1.0, which they wrote, and fucking phenomenal movie if you haven't seen it.
Never seen any of these.
Yeah, and we're gonna eventually do Dorm Days or Transylvania, which is their which was supposed to be Dorm Days 3, you know. So, you know, it was their Transylvania, like abroad, you know, studying, you know, abroad thing. It was fun. Fun little project. Anywho, okay. So to go back to you, Madeline, thank you so much for coming on the show and chatting with me. And the last 10, 20 minutes or whatever, talking jibber jabbering about other shit, like normal.
Yeah.
But that's why I usually always pick the last, you know, whatever, you know, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. But thank you so much. How can people reach you if they need to contact you?
Find me on Facebook, but send me a PM because I got lots of pending friend requests.
So you're like, you want people to actually message you first. And
yeah, I have to go through all my friend requests or, you know, the Spirit Animal movie page. You know, I still have copies for sale if anyone wants one with small audition.
Nice. Well, I love that. You know, I love that you're out there peddling your film and doing what you can. That's what we need to do independently.
Yeah.
So thank you. And if anyone wants to check out the film, check out her page. She'll let you know more about it. Everything like that. So is there a Spirit Animal website or anything?
No, just Facebook. I shouldn't make a website, but that's a whole different story. Learn how to do it.
I can teach you. It's actually, I've got one for Sick Flick Productions. I'll send you the link to that so you can take a look at it and see what I do. But it's for my production company. So that's what I would concentrate on is doing, you know, so you can update people on your stuff. But
exactly.
It's a good way.
A lot going on.
It's a good way to be a hub. So that, you know, Facebook is nice, but you know,
yeah,
you
can not everyone uses Facebook in the first place.
Right. Some people use Twitter, some people use Instagram, some people use Snapchat. I talk to a few people on it. TikTok, which I just
TikTok's a big thing right now.
I got into this year and I really adore, but I'm still really terrible at it. You know, like I don't know. It's just too much, you know, shit. Cause you know, like you just don't know what's gonna be, you know, what's gonna make it go viral or whatever, you know. But if you want to follow us, check out indiefilmcafe.reviews, sickflickproductions.com, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, or patreon.com/indiefilmcafe, where if you only give us $1, you can get a Patreon only podcast, which I'm really excited because tomorrow we record the next Patreon only podcast, and oh boy, so Madeline knows all about that, you know.
Yes.
Sadly, if she wasn't doing something else, having another prior commitment, she would have been the one on the show. So
next, you know, time.
No, lucky you. For avoiding it. So stick around. I'll chat with you later. But everybody else, thank you guys so much. Hope you enjoyed it. And check us next month for another 90s horror film. Thank you, guys. Bye. Thank
you. Bye.